Our lay reader is Turner Lane.
Today's scripture reading is James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of church and have them pray over them, anointing them with the oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today is the last day. We are going to study the book of James. Throughout his letter, James emphasized the importance of putting faith into actions. Therefore, James's exhortation, faith without works is dead, is balanced with Paul's teaching on salvation by faith only. And this helps us to live a more fruitful and balanced life. Today, James concludes his letter with a teaching on prayer. This verse is the most frequently used Bible text whenever I visit patients. We all agree that prayer is an essential practice in Christian life, but we often lack in prayer because we sometimes have a doubt that prayer can change anything. A boy was living deep in the mountains. One day, a heavy rain fell and a tree fell down in front of the house, blocking the road. The boy tried his best to clear the tree by himself, but he couldn't do it because it was too big. Then his father came out and asked, "Son, have you done everything you can?" "Yes, Dad, I've done everything I can, and this tree wouldn't move at all." Then Dad said, "Son, there's one thing you haven't done yet. Do you know what it is?" "I don't know." "Well, you haven't asked for help from me. I'm available, I'm strong." How much do we really trust our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, and ask him for help? James teaches us that prayer is a tremendous privilege given to Christians. However, praying is not just for Christians. In fact, wherever you go in the world, you will find that even small tribes have their own unique religions and prayer practices. I remember an incident that happened at a church I served at several years ago. Part of the church building was used by a private Montessori school during the week. I mostly stayed in the pastor's office on the second floor, but sometimes I went down to the chapel on the first floor to have time to pray. On the first floor, like ours, The school and church spaces were separated, so I could go freely use the room. One day, when I went to the chapel and opened the door, I was terrified to see a person lying down on the floor. I heard that homeless are coming sometimes, so that was very terrifying. I shouted, "Who are you?" She raised her head and said, "I am a teacher at Montessori School. Pardon me for using the room without permission." Then she left in a hurry. I noticed that she was a Muslim who strictly observed prayer to Allah 5 times a day, even in her workplace. In the chapel that day, I was in deep thought. If I asked church members about their prayer life, most of them answered that they practice prayer during morning and evening devotions or over meals. However, Muslims around the world diligently observe the iron rule of praying 5 times a day toward the Holy Land of Mecca. I felt sorry for Muslims who have to follow a prayer law even at work. But at the same time, I thought that their prayer habits might be helpful as they hold on to their faith. What happened to Christians who have been given the privileges to come to God through prayer? Why have we neglected and abandoned that privilege? Would it be different if we Christians had made the rule that we should pray 5 times a day to avoid God's curses and judgment like Muslims? On that day, I stayed before God for a long time in the chapel and repented of the current spiritual situation of Christianity. According to Pew Research, there are 4,000 recognized religions that currently exist in the world. They all emphasize practicing prayer for a blessing. But what really matters is to whom the prayer is addressed. It is who hears the prayer and answers it. Christians pray to God Almighty, our Creator and our Father. Therefore, we must not forget that the power of prayer to God is beyond imagination. That is why the prayer of faith is so powerful. James begins in verse 13, "Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any among you cheerful? They should sing songs of praise." The suffering of which this verse speaks could be physical, emotional, or circumstantial. The antidote is prayer, not only for God to solve the problems, but also for the strength and grace to bear it. On the other hand, James encourages us to sing praises when we are cheerful. We know that hymns are prayers with melodies. Again, James tells us to pray consistently in all circumstances, whether in suffering or joy. James now speaks of one of the most common suffering, a physical illness. Verse 14 and 15 says, "Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick." In Israel, an elder was typically an older man chosen for his maturity and wisdom to serve in positions of authority. The early church continued that tradition. Then we can find in the New Testament epistles that Peter called himself fellow elder, and also John referred to himself elder. Elders today can be compared to pastors and priests. The first duty of an elder for the sick is to pray. When the elders visited the sick, they would bring oil and apply it. James doesn't give details regarding the oil to be used, but he says only that the anointing should be done in the name of the Lord. I also use holy oil when I pray for the healing of sick people in the hospital. I have seen that anointing with oil can help patients strengthen their faith in healing. James was not saying that elders have special powers of healing. Rather, as representatives of the church, when they pray for healing in the name of the Lord, God hears and answers. It doesn't always happen, but God can, whenever necessary, pour out the gift of healing upon godly men and women, granting them miraculous healings for the glory of God. Amen. Therefore, I urge you who need prayers for your healing, don't hesitate to ask me to pray. I will faithfully pray for you or your family and friends upon receiving your request. There is one more thing to consider here. James instructs the elders to pray and secondarily to anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. In ancient times, rubbing oil was a common way to treat illnesses. Olive oil was the most common and was used for medicinal ointments at the time. For example, in Mark chapter 6, verse 13, we are told that early in their ministry, the 12 apostles anointed many with oil who were sick and healed them. Therefore, praying with oil symbolizes not only the healing power of the Holy Spirit, but also the healing through medicinal treatment. From ancient time until the development of modern medicine, the sick people went to pagan temples for healing. Ordinary people who had difficulty seeing a doctor went to the priest to get treatment or medicines. That is the reason Wesley wrote a book on common medical care that pastors should know. Medicine was a part of the pastor's responsibility those times. Thank God. There has been a mistake made by religious people who would not take medicine or have surgeries, believing that God will heal the person supernaturally. God surely can do miraculous healing for the sick, but God has given us medicine as part of our treatments too. We pray to God for healing, but that does not mean we will neglect treatments available for us. Sometimes our bodies get sick because our souls are sick with unconfessed sin. In this case, physical healing is possible only when spiritual healing takes precedence. Now, James takes us further in verse 16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. Here, the important thing is that the prayers of the righteous are powerful and effective. If we truly believe in Jesus, we have been recognized as righteous before God. God hears the prayers of the righteous. But even when we have faith and become righteous, we can still fall into the temptation of sins. Although confession of sin is not an easy task, when we confess our sins to each other while we pray as a loving community, spiritual healing takes place. Why are we hesitant to confess our sins? Because we are embarrassed, afraid, and our pride keeps us from admitting the truth. Sometimes prayers shared within the church become gossip and put many people to the test. However, James pictures the church as a community of believers where we are close enough to be honest and open enough to confess our weaknesses. When that happens, true healing can take place. The real issue is whether church members are mature enough to embrace one another with love, no matter what happens. If there is an unrepented sin among the church members, including pastor, the Holy Spirit cannot actively work in that church. But when sins are repented and all members pray with one accord, the Holy Spirit will do miraculous works in such a church. Who did amen? Thank you. I amen to your amen. In verses 17 and 18, James gives an example of a righteous man in the Old Testament. Who is it? Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. He accomplished great things through prayer. When Elijah prayed, the rain stopped and didn't fall in Israel for 3.5 years. Then when Elijah prayed for rain, the heavens opened up and rain fell from heaven, ending the drought. But James says that Elijah was not a superhuman. Rather, James emphasizes that Elijah was a person with ups and downs like us. All the heroes of the Bible had their weaknesses, and Elijah was no exception. God used him in spite of his weaknesses. No one is strong all the time. Amen? I'm not strong all the time. I cannot hit my sermon every Sunday. Therefore, if God would listen to Elijah's prayers, he would certainly listen to ours. Just as God came after Elijah, God comes after you and me when we hide in the cave or give up or abandon faith. God calls us, finds us, sometimes rebukes us, then encourages us. And finally, he uses us again and again and again. Praise God, who is good to us all the time. Amen. Dear congregant, through James, God wants us to reignite with an important call to pray. Pray in all circumstances, at all times, for all things. Prayer is not a burden, not a duty, but a blessed privilege. Amen to that. Nothing is too great to ask, and nothing is too hard for the Lord. Do not neglect prayer. Once you have prayed, leave it to God and do the work of the Lord. God will always be by your side. Amen. Holy Spirit, come to us. Lead us closer to God. Help us to claim our privilege to pray moment by moment for your glory. Amen.